And we turn together in the Word of God this evening to the Epistle of 1 John. 1 John and the chapter 3. We're going to read some verses together, commencing at the verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the 11th verse, trusting that the Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious and infallible word. Can we just unite our hearts together in a word of prayer as we come to consider the portions of Scripture? Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank Thee that we have Thy Word before us. And we praise Thee, O God, that Thy Word is truth. And we thank Thee that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray tonight, our Father, as we would come for these few moments to meditate upon Thy truth, that Thou would give that listening ear, and Thou would give that understanding heart. Give us, our Father, tonight, we pray, that hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Give us, our Father, that desire. Give us that longing in our heart for the things of God. And as we would look into Thy Word, we pray, O God, that Thou would reveal our hearts. And if there be those tonight outside of Christ, we look to Thee that Thou would do Thine own work. We thank Thee, our Father, that salvation is of the Lord. And we pray that Thou would speak through Thy Word this evening. And may it please Thee, our Father, even to save some soul tonight. Close us in now to Thee. We're trusting Thee, our Father, for that anointing of God upon our ministry this evening. For we know that without Thee, we can do nothing. Come powerfully upon us now. Speak to us and speak through us, that we would be that channel of blessing, that instrument in the hand of the Lord for good. For we ask these things in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. Tonight I would like to think a little bit about heaven. And as we think of heaven, it is impossible to think of heaven without thinking about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that inseparable connection between both. the person of our Lord and Savior, and the place of heaven. You cannot have one without the other. In fact, if we were looking for a definition of heaven, we would have to say that heaven is where Jesus is. Because where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Heaven is being with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Heaven is being in His presence. Doesn't that come out whenever we begin to look into the Scriptures of truth? And we think about the Apostle Paul. And as he was writing there to the Philippians, he began to speak to them about the longing that was in his heart. He said he had that desire to depart. And he was speaking about leaving this scene of time and about going out into eternity. And of course he was speaking about going to heaven. But he described it as a desire to depart, to be with Christ. Because that's what heaven is. Heaven is being with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when he was writing to the church at Corinth? And Paul spoke about putting off this earthly tabernacle and about how one day we would be absent from the body. And speaking about the people of God, he said it will be absent from the body and it will be present with the Lord. And that's what heaven is, being present with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he was speaking to the church at Thessalonica, he was speaking there again about heaven. And he said of it in these words, forever with the Lord. When Paul was speaking about heaven in these examples, he never specifically mentioned it by name. But he was describing it about the place where the Lord Jesus Christ is. And he was speaking of it concerning the redeemed of the Lord, that one day they would be in the presence of their Lord and Savior. And that's what heaven is. You cannot think of heaven without thinking of our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the very way to heaven. By His atoning death, by His sacrifice, and by His blood, we can be brought to heaven. We can't get there without the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was speaking to his disciples in John 14, and he was saying to them about going to prepare a place for them, he turned to Thomas and he said, I am the way. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way that you will ever get to heaven. And yet when we think of the child of God entering into glory, we're going to actually behold the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look over there in John's Gospel, in the chapter 17, we have of course the great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in John chapter 17, and the verse 24, down towards the very end of the prayer, verse 24, the Savior prays, Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am. And there you can see that heaven is being in the presence of the Lord. That's what the Lord is praying for, that His people will be with Him where He is. But the verse goes on, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And as the Lord was praying for His people, and He was praying for them to be brought safely into heaven itself, you can see here that when we get to heaven, we're going to behold His glory. We're going to see all His dazzling splendor. We're going to see the very face of our Lord and Savior. We shall see the King in His beauty. And on that day, faith is going to give way to sight. We're going to see the King. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is the way to heaven. He's the one that we behold when we get to heaven. And throughout all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the blessing of His people. The Savior is going to bless us in heaven throughout the countless ages of eternity. Therefore, it is good for us tonight just to take a few moments and to consider heaven. That's the blessed prospect which lies before every blood-bought child of God. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're saved, you've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, you've been born from above, and your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life, then we're going home to glory. We're on our way to heaven tonight. And as we think of the glory of that place, look over into the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul was doing a little bit of evaluation. We find in Romans 8 and the verse 18 that he was reckoning and he was making some comparison. And in Romans 8 and the verse 18 he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You think of a child of God. You think of the blessed prospect of the glory that lies beyond here. Yes, there may be many a hardship. There may be many a difficulty. There's many a struggle. There's many a hurdle that we have to get over. And the Apostle Paul knew more about this than any of us. But yet he said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." You know, as you would meditate upon that glory, we could almost miss the two little words that appear at the end of that verse, because the apostle adds there, "in us." There is a glory that is going to be revealed in every child of God. Not that we have anything in and of ourselves to glory in. Not that we at all of ourselves have any glory. The glory belongs to God alone. But somehow, whenever we get to heaven, that glory is going to be revealed in us. And therefore, we ask the question this evening, what does heaven mean to the child of God? As we would suggest some answers to that question, we can see firstly that heaven, there's going to be a holiness that is perfect. And if you look with me in the portion of scripture that we read in 1 John chapter 3, and you look there into the second verse of that chapter, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Do you notice the words in that verse where the apostle says, "We shall be like Him"? If we know anything of our own hearts this evening, and we know the deceitfulness and the darkness and even the depravity of our own hearts, then that makes this a most marvelous statement. That one day we're going to be like Him. That makes it a miraculous statement. It seems something that is impossible. It seems something that would be impossible for it to happen, that we who were born of Adam's sinful race could one day be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, we're so far from perfect now. We're so far from that Christ-likeness that every child of God ought to possess, that these words just don't penetrate our hearts. They don't make the impact that they ought to make upon us. It's hard for our finite minds to take it in, that one day every redeemed soul in the glory is going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we wrestle and we struggle against the power of indwelling sin. Here we're plagued by sin. Sin that has so woven itself into the very texture of our being. That sin that is in the very fabric of man, to the point that it wearies us in this world. To the point that sin and iniquity here brings us much pain and grief. There's much sorrow and there's much misery because of sin. But in the glory, we're going to be so transformed that there's going to be no more sin. Nothing that defileth shall ever enter within heaven's gates. And whenever we leave this scene of time, whenever we close our eyes in death, we will go to the immediate presence of our Lord and Savior, and we're going to be made perfect in holiness. Because in heaven, for every child of God, there's a holiness that is perfect. Think of that tonight. Never again will we break the commandments of God. Never again will we transgress His holy law. Never again will we have to bow the knee in repentance. Never again would we have to beg the forgiveness and the pardon and the cleansing blood, because we'll be made perfect in holiness. Look over into Paul's letter to the Hebrews. In the Hebrews chapter 12, there's a description here that is given that describes believers for us in the glory. In Hebrews chapter 12, and you look there at verse 22, and Paul writes, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." There at the end of that verse we have the description in verse 23 of those who have departed with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have gone on before, they're described there as the spirits of just men. That is, those who have been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have known that peace with God. Those who have known the redeeming power of the precious blood. Whenever they leave this scene of time and they go from this earth out into eternity, they go into the glory to be with their Lord and Savior, and they're described here as the spirits of just men made perfect. Made perfect in holiness. And remember, we're speaking here about the child of God. We're speaking about the one who has that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're speaking tonight about those who were saved. That's their blessed prospect. This is not the lot of the unbeliever, the one who goes out into eternity and who is unprepared. No, they will go to the Christ rejecter's hell, but we're speaking about those that have come to faith and come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. They will enter into the immediate presence, and they're going to be made like our Lord and Savior. Do you know there's comfort here tonight when we think of this? There's comfort here for the child of God who has that sorrow and mourning, perhaps over the loss of that loved one, the one who has died with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has gone on before and has died in the Lord. We can see here the description of them. The spirits of just men are made perfect. And while tonight we would sorrow, yet we sorrow not as others which have no hope, because we can think about them in this blessed state. We can think about them in the very presence of their Lord and Savior. And we can think about them being made perfect in holiness. What does heaven mean for the child of God? It means there's a holiness that is perfect. But in the second place this evening, I want us to notice also that there is a hope that is precious. And over there in the portion of scripture that we've read in 1 John, in the chapter 3, we find there in the verse 3 that it mentions the word hope. It says there in verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." There's a hope there. The hope is that blessed prospect of the one who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have repented of their sins. They have turned and accepted God's offer of mercy. They stand upon redemption ground. They're trusting the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a blessed hope. There's a hope there that is an anchor for our souls. The hope that is both sure and steadfast. And you know that hope, we ought to be taken up with the anticipation of that blessed hope. And every part of our being, our actions, our ambitions, our aspirations, they ought to be in keeping with this precious hope that lies before us. You couldn't speak about the precious hope without thinking about the resurrection. And here that hope involves the resurrection when we're thinking about eternity. That the resurrection, that's the point whenever our redemption is going to be full and our redemption is going to be complete. Whenever the body is raised out of Mother Earth, whenever the body is going to be brought forth and reunited with the soul, that's when our redemption will be full. And that's all involved in the precious hope that every child of God has. That which is separated in death, as the body goes into the ground, the soul goes to be with Christ, with the spirits of just men made perfect. We're speaking here about a hope that will involve the reuniting of body and soul. Again, how precious that hope is when we begin to think about it. When you think about the bodies in which we live in on this earth, bodies that have been wracked with the corruption and the pollution of sin, bodies perhaps that have suffered much physical weakness, bodies that have known that physical frame and that bodily affliction to plague them so much in this life. Those that have known within the body that we're all winding down to the grave. And even tonight as I preach, I'm preaching out of a body that is dying. And as you listen, you're listening in a body that is dying. It's Richard Baxter who's connected with the words about preaching as a dying man unto dying men and women. And each one of us tonight, we're winding down to the grave. And the body is deteriorating the older we get and the longer we're here. And the deterioration of the body is reminding us that the body is not going to last forever. And there are those who would try to halt that deterioration. There were those who would go to great lengths to try and reverse the aging process. And cosmetic surgery today, of course, would be big business. People going to absolutely ridiculous lengths to try and cling on to their vanishing youth. We have to say, whatever those efforts are, it's a losing battle. Because one by one we're winding down to the grave. The body is decaying. But when we think of that, what a precious hope we have. That one day this old body that is winding down to the grave and corruption is going to be raised again gloriously in incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. And this corruptible is going to put on incorruptibility. This is going to be a glorious body that we're given in the glory. Look over into 1 Corinthians in the chapter 15. And here we have that key chapter on the resurrection. And it speaks to us about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But towards the end of that chapter, you can see that it concerns the resurrection of the people of God. And there in verse 52, it's describing it to us. And Paul the Apostle says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? What a precious hope every child of God has tonight. When we think about that glorious resurrection of the body that lies before us, let me ask you tonight in the gospel meeting, do you have such a precious hope? Is that the blessed prospect that would lie before you this evening? That one day when you leave this scene of time, you're going to know that holiness that is perfect. You're going to be like your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll be with the spirits of just men made perfect. Do you have that precious hope in your breast this evening that one day at the resurrection you're going to receive that glorious body? We'll be with our Lord and Savior to praise Him for all eternity. My, what a precious hope that is for every child of God. But I want you to think tonight in the third place that there is a happiness that is present. And if you look again into our reading for this evening, 1 John and the chapter 3, and there again we look into that second verse, and it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now the Apostle John recognizes here in the passage that there's much about the future state that we do not know. There are many things there about the future which we don't fully understand. There's many things about heaven that we just couldn't comprehend this evening. But John is bringing us to the here and now. You see the second word there in verse 2. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. He's speaking about the here and now, and he's saying we're the sons of God. It's speaking about those who have been adopted into the family of God. Those who have been safely brought into the fold. Those who have the seal of the spirit of adoption within, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. We know that we've been saved. We know that we've been brought in to the family of God. We have that sonship this evening. We know our salvation is sure. And it's something that rejoices our hearts now. Now, beloved, are we the sons of God. You see, we don't need to wait until eternity to start rejoicing about heaven. No, we can start rejoicing about heaven in the here and now. It starts with our salvation whenever we're brought into the family of God, whenever we've received the Lord as our Savior. And as many as received Him, to them give He power, or give the right to become the sons of God. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you in the family of God this evening? Well, then we can start rejoicing together. Because the blessedness is something that commences within the soul. The blessedness is something that is the here and now. We were speaking about heaven in the introduction, that where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And therefore, if we ask the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart and into our lives, there ought to be a taste of heaven here on earth, and salvation and walking in fellowship and communion with the Lord is a foretaste of heaven. C.H. Spurgeon, he said, if we do not get to heaven before we die, we shall not get to heaven after we die. And I think we can understand his train of thought there. Matthew Henry said that glory is grace begun within the soul. Whenever we come and we start out for heaven, whenever we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we can know the joy of God's so great salvation. There's a blessedness there for every child of God now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. But do you see what that is based on? We can see the grounds of it there. If you look into the very first verse, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." It's grounded here upon the love of the Lord to us. And John is calling us here to behold that love. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And he's asking us to look at that love, to consider that love, to gaze upon that love. The love of God giving his only begotten Son. What manner of love is this? That the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was rich in glory, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. He died there upon that center tree. He suffered the torment and the agony. He suffered the very wrath of God against sin. And yet he did it because he loved us. Gaze upon that love tonight. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. But why? That we should be called the sons of God. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us and he gave himself for us. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Heaven was purchased by the Savior's precious blood. Heaven is there for the child of God because of the great love wherewith he has loved us. Let me ask you tonight, are you ready? Are you prepared for eternity? Do you have that precious hope within your heart this evening? Oh, we would urge you tonight that you would make that preparation and you would come and know the love of God being shed abroad in your hearts. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. No, tonight if there was one, that you would come and step out on the promise tonight. Just take the Lord Jesus Christ at his word and accept that invitation in the gospel. You could know that glory. And you could know that present happiness within your soul this evening. The joy and the peace that there is in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing that no matter what the day is going to bring forth, that it's well with your soul. You know, there are some, they like to believe in heaven. They would cherish some hope or notion within their heart that one day they will go to that place. But they've never repented of their sin. They've never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And therefore, tonight, on the authority of God's word, we have to say it's an absurd notion that you would have any hope of going to heaven. For except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And therefore we urge you to come tonight. There was a man by the name of John Peterson. And he was attending a Bible conference in Pennsylvania many years ago. And during that Bible conference, there was a time of open testimony. And people all over the meeting were standing up and just giving that simple word of how they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And at one point, there was an elderly man, and he rose slowly to his feet. And he began to tell of how he came to that point in his life where the Lord Jesus Christ saved his soul. And he was finding it difficult to put it into words just to describe what took place in that moment of time. And as he struggled for words, he said it seemed like heaven came down and glory filled my soul. John Peterson, as he was listening, he took a note of those words. And at a later point, he sat down and he was writing the hymn. And he used those words within the chorus of that hymn. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when at the cross my Saviour made me whole. It would be our desire tonight that you would know heaven to come down and glory to fill your soul with the joy of your sins forgiven, and knowing with that assurance tonight that if you leave this scene of time, you'll go to be with Christ. And the Bible says, which is far better. May God bless His word to each of our hearts this evening.